And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. Now that Dr. Allen has stated that Mary will make a full recovery from the acid burns inflicted by the jealousy-crazed Claudia Vincent, wealthy Rupert Barlow is once more determined that he will divert her romantic interest from her husband Larry to himself. And with Larry now in Hollywood, Rupert believes the task will be considerably easier. For this reason, he has stopped in to see Irving Morse, the private investigator in his New York office. And as Rupert faces the puzzled man, we hear...
Sit down, Mr. Barlow. Sit down. Have a cigar. What can I do for you?
I haven't time to sit down, Mr. Morse.
How about a cigar? They're very good. I import them myself.
No, thank you. I just came here to tell you that I want you to continue the reports on the actor, Larry Noble, from Hollywood.
Now, you want me to put the boys back on a job of shadowing them?
That's right. Use as many men as you need, but make sure the man is watched carefully all the time. I want complete reports, particularly with regard to the young picture actress the reports mentioned last.
Well, when I brought you those reports, you said you weren't interested. You tore them out. And naturally, I didn't like to argue, even though I admit I was kind of disappointed. I thought sure you'd be tickled at the good job my operative's done.
I have no way of knowing whether it's a good job or not. I assume you will give me the best possible service, since I've offered to pay full expenses for any help you think necessary.
Okay, Mr. Barlow. I'll get right in touch with the Coast office and have the boys take over again. That's if they aren't out on another assignment, of course.
If they are, you can call them off. I'm willing to meet whatever expenses are essential. And I don't want to waste time breaking in new men.
Well, I'll do the best I can, Mr. Barlow. I hope you don't call the job off on me again after I get it all set up.
If you provide me with the information I'm looking for, Mr. Morse, you can be sure to have the job for the time being.
Well, now, let's see. You're particularly interested in this girl. Let me see if I can remember her name. I trained myself years ago to memorize names and numbers. They're mighty useful on a tough job. Let me think. This girl works in the same lot as the actor, Larry Noble. Her name is Dora. That's it, Dora Dean.
Whatever her name is, I want her watched, Mr. Morse. If Larry Noble is paying her an unwarranted amount of attention, I want to know about it.
Well, I guess that last report ought to mean something to you. Reading between the lines, that is. He picks up this actress in his car when she steps off the bus. And they spend the day riding around, looking at cheap hotels and all. After that, they drive out to a restaurant and spend another couple of hours. And then he takes her home. Looks like he's kind of interested, wouldn't you say?
I want a complete description of this young woman, a complete description of her. And whatever background information you can find.
Okay, Mr. Barlow, I get right after it.
To save time, you better have the reports made directly to me by long-distance telephone.
Oh, well, the way we handle these things, Mr. Barlow... Our operatives write out their report, and then they...
I'm not interested in your usual procedure, Mr. Morse. I'll be at home all evening. You have my unlisted number. I'll expect to hear from your operatives. I'll get right to work.
How do you like a guy like that? Doesn't know his own mind. One minute he blows hot, the next minute he's cold in a wet fish. Well, I guess you don't have to worry with all his dough. He can change his mind as often as he pleases, the lug. Wonder what his angle is in this deal. Maybe I ought to look into it just in case. Elsie, get me the L.A. office right away. I got a rush job.
And at this same time, out in Hollywood, Larry is busy on the Marco and Franklin set, where he's under contract to make a picture. After working all morning, he's now heading for the commissary, when he's hailed by a familiar voice.
Hi, Mr. Noble. I've been looking for you.
Hello, Dora. I just stopped in for a cup of coffee. Those lights have just about melted me down.
I know how it is. You ought to try being a stand-in once, waiting till they get all ready to shoot, and then you step out and let the star get all the glory.
You make it all sound very cruel, Dora. I feel that I ought to go back and change places with my stand-in. Let him make the next scene.
Well, there's plenty of times when it would be a darn good idea, Mr. Noble.
Huh?
But now with you. Honestly, it's just wonderful watching you when you're doing a scene.
Oh, you're much too flattering, Dora Dean. You'll have me completely spoiled if you don't look out.
Not you. You're just as regular as you can be. Even if you are a famous Broadway actor, nothing swell-headed about you.
Well, thank you, Dora. When you get to be famous, I'll say the same thing about you.
Oh, I don't know. Somehow I'm getting discouraged, Mr. Noble. I don't think I'll ever get anywhere.
Nonsense. Give yourself a chance. Want to walk back to the set? I'm supposed to go on in a few minutes.
Okay. Oh, I forgot to give you the message. Hmm? How about that? It went completely out of my head. I guess I just get slap happy when I talk to you.
What message are you talking about?
Shorty told me to tell you if I saw you. I guess he knew I'd see you all right.
Shorty, is that the giant who guards the gate outside?
Mm-hmm. You know how tall he is?
No, but I know I wouldn't argue with him if he told me I couldn't come on the set. But what's this about a message, Dora?
Oh, yes. There I go forgetting again. He told me to tell you your car's out in the parking lot and he's got the keys in his office.
My car? Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? I haven't got any car. I came here in a cab this morning.
Well, that's what he said, Mr. Noble. Some guy brought it here and left the keys with Shorty. That's all I know. I guess it's the car you had Sunday when I helped you find the place to live.
Oh, yes, that must be it. Tom Bryson tried to get me to use it while I was out here. But I told him I didn't want it.
I wish somebody would ask me to use his car. Now, how come this man isn't using it himself?
Oh, Tom, I told you about that.
Mm-hmm.
He's been laid up with a back injury for a long time. Been in a cast. They're going to take it off today. I guess he sent someone over with his car.
He must be an awfully good friend, Mr. Noble.
Tom Bryson?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's one of our very closest friends, Dora.
You and your wife, too?
That's right. I've played in quite a good many Bryson productions in New York. He's a great writer, you know.
Yes. Do you think he'll do anything for pictures now that he's getting better?
No. Now, Tom told me he's heading back east as soon as the doctor lets him go. That's why he told me to keep the car and sell it when I'm ready to leave.
Well, aren't you going to do it?
I don't think so. Because, you see, I may be out here in Hollywood a very long time.
Oh, that's swell. I hope you stay out here forever.
Yeah, I probably will.
You don't sound very happy about it, Mr. Noble.
Don't I?
And I bet you anything you'll want to get back to Broadway as soon as you finish this picture.
It doesn't matter what I want to do.
What do you mean?
Oh, never mind. Thanks for giving me the message. I'd better go in and see if they're ready to shoot.
They're still setting up the lights. Well, maybe I'll be seeing you.
I expect you will, Dora. Oh, by the way, now that I have a car at my disposal, suppose I drive you home when we finish.
Oh, that would be swell. But I don't like to take you so far out of your way.
No, glad to do it, Dora. You've been very good about helping me get settled in Hollywood.
How do you like the room, Mr. Noble? Is it all right?
Oh, it's fine.
I bet your wife wouldn't say so if she knew what kind of a dump you were living in.
Oh, it's a perfectly good place. And it's very cheap. That's what counts.
You sure must think an awful lot of your wife to want to live like that. So you can send back all your money.
My wife deserves a lot more than I can ever give her, Dora. Well, better not start on that subject. See you when we quit tonight.
And back in New York, Mary Noble is sitting in a chair by the window in her room at the hospital, looking out at the East River. On the table beside her are a stack of travel folders and timetables. Suddenly, Mary looks at them and picks up the first as she thinks.
New York to Hollywood. What a wonderful sound that is. And to think that I'll actually be on a plane bound for Hollywood in a short time. I think perhaps Dr. Allen will be able to set a date pretty soon. Then I'll take the fastest plane there is. And I won't let Larry know anything about it till I'm on my way. Oh, these last days are going to be longer than anything I've ever lived through. But I shouldn't mind. Even today when Dr. Allen let me look in the mirror, I could see a big improvement. And so now I know that I'll really be able to face Larry without hurting him. And that's the most wonderful thing in the world. New York to Hollywood. Fly Constellation. With a cruising speed of 300 miles per hour. Oh, that's not nearly fast enough. I ought to have a rocket ship that would get me there in seconds instead of hours. Why do you suppose Rupert Barlow sent over all these travel folders? Sunny Spain, the beautiful Mediterranean, historic Mexico. Ah, there's only one place that interests me right now, and that's Hollywood. And that's the one folder he didn't include. But I sent for that myself. Oh, Larry, darling, you will be glad to see me, won't you?
Mary Noble looks again at the plane folder and imagines herself on board, speeding toward Larry and Hollywood. She imagines the meeting when she arrives, the surprise, the relief on her husband's face, and the end of the weeks of waiting. But this is only a dream at present. Will it ever come true? Be sure to be listening Monday to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway stars.